This is episode 3 of season 9 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Hooters makes these podcasts happen. They make them absolutely free for you to listen to. There's way too much fantasy content out there, and a lot of it is very good fantasy content that you have to pay for. And I don't want you to do that when it comes to me talking about fantasy football. Much as always, my leagues have been absolutely free, and that will be the case again this year, albeit there are no podcast leagues this year. Podcast leagues ended last year. I still have my own personal leagues that I will talk about, where I will host live in-person drafts that shatter speed records and move along very swiftly, destroying the myth that the in-person draft takes too long. But fantasy football should be fun. Content should be free, and it should be free to play in leagues, whether you're playing for something or not, trophy or cash. My leagues have done a little bit of both over the years. Hooters takes care of that in terms of their sponsorship, which allows me to offer this podcast for free. 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area under the originalhooters.com brand. That's where you go to find the location that best suits you geographically in the Tampa Bay area. So thanks to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My thanks also to continued support from Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan is a returning champion in one of my leagues from Bill Curry Ford. He's the general manager there. I'd like to thank Pin Chasers for coming back aboard with me in terms of what I do for podcasts and golf tournaments for the fall, as well as Brandon Legal Group, my biggest sponsor of everything that I do, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. For a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. In the previous episode, in our this or that theme for leading up to your fantasy draft, we basically analyzed the same question we did last year, which was McCaffrey or Justin Jefferson. This year, the question is more McCaffrey or someone else, because it's not as clear cut this year as it was last year that Jefferson is the other option. Perhaps because Jefferson didn't work out as the other option at number one overall last year for those who took him. Perhaps because he got hurt. Perhaps because McCaffrey was so good. Perhaps because you don't have an established veteran quarterback like a Kirk Cousins on the roster as we speak for this season for the Minnesota Vikings. We don't know what Sam Darnold's going to do. We don't know what J.J. McCarthy's going to do. So we don't have enough to go on. Some said Kirk Cousins had his best year last year. I don't know if I believe that, but we had enough to go on that Kirk Cousins could throw the football, right? And that most of the time when Kirk Cousins goes back to pass, he's not going to run it, right? We've got a lot of guys that we like that move up our fantasy draft boards, and we covet as our fantasy football starting quarterback because they do give us a little something-something in the running game. They use their legs. Now, not everybody can be Jalen Hurts with how the Eagles use him, and until further notice with Kellen Moore, we expect the tush push to still be a big part of what the Eagles do. But Kirk Cousins is kind of the total opposite. Jared Goff, the total opposite, right? There's not going to be much there as it relates to them. So when Kirk Cousins dropped back, chances were pretty good he was going to look to Justin Jefferson. And Justin Jefferson does a tremendous job of making any throw in his direction a reception. He may have to be better than that than ever before. Because remember, Joe Burrow was throwing him balls at LSU. He might need to be as good at that as pre-Joe Burrow this year, depending on what Darnold and or McCarthy are doing in Minnesota. So according to current draft is at the time of this podcast, based on fantasy mock draft data via fantasyfootballcalculator.com, the top two behind Christian McCaffrey in fantasy drafts, mock drafts, Tyreek Hill 2, Breece Hall 3. So our this or that is Hill Hall, okay? Hill versus Hall. Let's take Breece Hall. So we're doing this or that, Hill or Hall. Let's take Breece Hall first because I owned him last year. I owned him in the league where I didn't win. And prior to our trade deadline, I got as much as I possibly could for him because, one, I felt he was replaceable. Two, I needed multiple players in return and felt I could do it. In the end, I did. The deal was kind of a push, now that I remember it. Hall had some productive games after I traded him. You know, we look back at last year, week 18. If you're still playing fantasy football in week 18, you should fire your commissioner. So that shouldn't have meant anything. Week 16, yeah. If you had actually made the championship, we do our championships now in week 16. We end our season. He had 191 scrimmage yards. But I remember it was kind of a push. It wasn't a great deal for me, but it didn't hurt me. And at that point, I needed to make a lot of changes because I didn't have a team that could get me where I needed to be as I was playing against Sean Sullivan in that particular league, and he went on ultimately to win it. Breece Hall's numbers last year. He started 16 of 17 regular season games. He rushed for 994 yards, triple digits. Not 1,000, triple digits. Five touchdowns rushing, five. Longest 83-yard run in that Wild Jets week one win in overtime on Monday Night Football where Rodgers was hurt early on. Receiving, he caught 76 balls, 591 yards, so average of 7.8 on the reception, 4.5 per rushing attempt, and four receiving touchdowns. So he accounted for nine touchdowns. He touched the ball 299 times. There you go, Ed Rooney. 299 times. Only two fumbles and didn't lose either one of them. All right, so he's not a turnover liability. If, in fact, the data is true that Breece Hall is going to be going very early in fantasy drafts this year, I will not be one of those who will be investing in him. Here are the reasons why. I learned last year that Breece Hall doesn't get the tough yards. That's my opinion. Five rushing touchdowns on 223 attempts. So let's break that down. That means it's about every 45. Make sure I'm doing my math right. every 45 times Breece Hall was handed the ball, not thrown it, handed it, he scored. That's not good. You can explain that however you wish. We'll get to the Aaron Rodgers factor. But scoring once every 45 times you touch the ball is not enough for me as a running back. Touchdown receptions, one every 19. I know it's not all about how often you get in the end zone, but those are the big points. Sure, you want... I always want guys who touch the ball, and he touched the ball 299 times. That's good. It's real good. But he doesn't score enough. Does that improve under Aaron Rodgers? Okay, we'll get to that. I'm the one who's been bringing up for many years now that Aaron Rodgers loses big games. That Aaron Rodgers, since winning Super Bowl 45, hasn't gotten back to the Super Bowl. And while Aaron Rodgers has pointed a lot of fingers and run coaches out the way he ran Mike McCarthy out of Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers is part of the problem. Aaron Rodgers is a sub-500 postseason quarterback since winning Super Bowl 45. I don't deny there are reasons why, there are external reasons why Aaron Rodgers hasn't been back to a second Super Bowl in a Hall of Fame career. But I would also point right at Aaron Rodgers and say he's part of the reason. And there were a number of those playoff losses, including one late in his Green Bay career at home in the cold to the San Francisco 49ers, where you can look at Rodgers' performance and say he was a big part of the reason why Green Bay lost that game. At home, at Lambeau, very winnable. You're Aaron Rodgers. Some other numbers on Rodgers in recent years also don't look particularly good in terms of efficiency beyond just the wins and losses in the postseason. Now, I know Jets fans would just love thinking about being in the postseason, right? The Jets have gone longer without winning a division than the Cowboys have without winning a Super Bowl, than the Niners have without winning a Super Bowl. I think the Jets have gone 31 years without winning a division, longer than anyone else. And as my friend from the University of Miami lived down the hall from me, Dan Le Batard, brought up at one point in a segment on his radio show, a month or so ago, maybe longer, when you look at teams that have won the AFC East, the Jets are fifth, even though there are only four teams currently in the division. The Colts have won more AFC East than the Jets, and the Colts haven't been in the AFC East in quite some time. So to me, there's too much speculation. There's too much about the getting excited about the Jets. I was watching the premiere of Good Morning Football, and it took all of, 8 minutes for the excited about the Jets this season to start. And I don't share in that. I don't share in that because of Aaron Rodgers, and I don't share in it because it's the New York Jets. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I don't think you will, but prove me wrong. And I think Breece Hall, as talented as he is, would be better off somewhere else. I don't deny that the Jets' offensive line might be better than it was a year ago, but there's too much here to me that says, and from owning Breece Hall last year, albeit in an offense not quarterbacked by anyone of legitimate caliber. But I'm not going to be one of those even considering drafting Breece Hall in the first round of a fantasy draft because of all the reasons I just gave you. So let's talk about Tyreek Hill and why I side with Hill in this Hill versus Hall, this or that. You know, because even in that awful playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs, which was so predictable that the Chiefs would win the game in dominating fashion, and the Dolphins wouldn't put up much of a fight. A big question mark about Mike McCarthy's Miami Dolphins is what the hell happens to them come the end of the season. And this isn't just about losing in the playoffs. This is what happens at the end of the season. Why do you look so good early? And then by the end, I mean, no team looked like it checked out more last year near the end of the season as a playoff team than the Eagles did. But the Dolphins were close. And that's both years under McCarthy where this has happened. Yet, Tua going back to throw it up, Tyreek goes, gets it, and gets in the end zone. That's it. That was their one play in that game last year. You could argue they should have run that one play every series. Every series of downs, run the Tyreek play, right? Let's go playground, because the Dolphins had nothing else in that game. I'm sure Tyreek would have signed off on it. Tua would have probably been fine with it. Let's just take our chances. Rather than run it once, run it every damn series. They ran it once. It worked. And go get your tee times. Chiefs moving on. Dolphins going home. Tyreek Hill last year. Let's go to the full stats for just 2023. And now we do regular season because we were talking about the postseason touchdown. 13 touchdowns. So let's just stop right there. Tyreek Hill scored more touchdowns than Breece Hall last year. Tyreek Hill's a wide receiver. Breece Hall touched the ball 299 times. Tyreek Hill touched it 125 times. 119 receptions for 2 years in a row. Both years in Miami, Hill has exactly 119 catches. Funny, 17-10 on the receiving yards in 2022, 17-99 on the receiving yards in 2023. Do you have any reason to believe, barring injury to Hill, who is in exceptional physical condition? Yes, at some point he's not going to be as fast as he used to be. We haven't reached that point yet. We have no evidence that it's going to happen now. You got to be thinking when you draft Tyreek Hill, I'm going to get roughly 119 receptions, roughly 1,700 to 1,800 yards. He had 7 touchdowns receiving. He had 1 rushing touchdown, by the way, in 2022. No rushing touchdowns 2023. You're going to get roughly 10 touchdowns, 10 plus touchdowns out of Tyreek Hill. Same coach the last 2 years. Same quarterback as the last 2 years. No reason to believe not the same Tyreek Hill the last 2 years. Jalen Waddle still lines up on the opposite side of him and now has a very nice contract to keep him happy going forward. Dolphins probably overpaid there, but there's a lot of that going on. Average per reception, 14.4 in 2022 with the Dolphins, 15.1 last year. I didn't own Tyreek Hill in 2023. I took advantage of the, you want to call it a market correction or an overreaction. First time this is coming up this year. And there are a number of guys who fall into this category. You should have learned by now that just because a wide receiver leaves one team and goes to another team, the common thought is to think less of that wide receiver in his new place. And we're talking about the big names here. We're not talking about the lower level guys. We're talking about the bigger names. Because in most cases, we have come to learn that you don't just assume the wide receiver isn't going to be as productive in his next stop. And for those that I got ahead of the curve on Tyreek Hill going from Kansas City to Miami, the Chiefs have won two Super Bowls in two attempts without Tyreek Hill. And that probably burns his ass. Meanwhile, Hill can't win a playoff game in Miami. Not his fault. Doesn't have Mahomes, doesn't have Kelsey, doesn't have Andy Reid, and some other things as well. Some would say the Chiefs had no wide receivers of significance last year. Still won it all. For fantasy purposes, though, that's where in both of my leagues in 2022, I drafted and invested heavily in Tyreek Hill. I wasn't able to take advantage of that in 2023, because virtually everyone said, well, wow, he's as good in fantasy in Miami as he was in Kansas City. And actually, he's not losing any touchdowns or receptions to Travis Kelce. So I'm on board now. So there wasn't as much value in Tyreek Hill for me last year. I couldn't get him at the same low price, the same low value. Now this year, would I take Tyreek Hill too? I would over Breece Hall. I don't know if I would over Amon-Ra. I might. But in terms of this or that as it relates to Hill versus Hall, you know, if your draft does go McCaffrey one overall and you're sitting there at two, and granted, the data as of the time of this broadcast from Fantasy Football Calculator does say Hill over Hall at number two overall with Hall at three. But in some cases, Hill might be sitting there at three. But in the Hill versus Hall, I don't think there's any question that you take Hill there instead of Hall. I don't see any reason. You are more likely to, every time the Dolphins line up to run a play, anywhere on the field, you know Tyreek Hill could score, right? Because if he gets the ball in open field, no one's going to catch him. Breece Hall, not so much. Hill versus Hall, absolutely Tyreek Hill, in my opinion. Wright.Todd at yahoo.com, Wright.Todd at yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.